Croeso I Amplify. Welcome to Amplify, stories about youth music in Wales. Straeon am gerddoriaeth ieuenctid yng Nghymru. This month, we have a special episode focusing on musicians from Wales who come from families with Windrush elders. Guest host Alicia Scott chats to Edith Crawford about music, family, and the influence of Windrush on her work.
Hello, my name is Alicia Scott. I am a reggae artist and BBC Radio Wales presenter from Cardiff. I am a Welsh Jamaican and I am a grandchild of the Windrush. In this series of the Amplify podcast, I'm going to be talking to Welsh artists who stem from the Windrush, and we're going to talk about how the Windrush has influenced their journeys as musicians and people. So with me is Edith, and I would like you to explain who are you and what do you do?
Hello.
Hello.
Pleasure to be here talking with
Thanks
you.
Thanks for coming.
Pleasure. I'm Edith. I'm a 24-year-old singer-songwriter, producer. I'm living currently in Aberfan in Merthyr in the Valleys. And yeah, I produce kind of like new soul, electronic, like ambient rock infusion music in Welsh and English, more so in Welsh recently. And yeah, that's kind of my life. My career is kind of like producing and then sound designing for theatre, and then just dabbling, collaborating, and anytime I can, just creating music and being kind of creative.
Amazing. Can you explain to us, what is your connection to the Windrush?
So my grandfather came over from Barbados in the 1970s. I've had that connection through my dad visiting as a child. My Bajan family started from my grandfather and my dad.
Amazing. And I've seen you live loads of times now, and I absolutely love the music you do, and I would definitely say within your sound is definitely something quite eclectic, and I wouldn't say like, oh, you just do this or you just do that. What would you say were the influences? Like, this is often can be in like interviews and stuff like that quite a generic question, but when I say influences, I don't just mean artists. What would you say kind of like the landscape of for why you think there might be so many different sounds within your style?
I think it's really interesting because family is a massive part of my influences, where I live and where I come from, and that history is a massive influence. My mum being one of the main things, I think, the main push, the main drive from a young age. She's always pushed me and my sister to do music and to use our voices, as she's always known like we've had a voice. Yeah. So she's always pushed us to use it. And I think she's always, tried to teach us to embrace where we've come from on our culture. And kind of, I think with our dad being quite distant from a young age, we always had our mum there pushing that onto us and telling us how important it is to kind of use what you've got. I grew up in West Wales, so, very small, close-knit kind of community. We started kind of competing in Eisteddfods, so Welsh Eisteddfods, me and my sister together doing duets, and I did like enawds, which are like singing on your own with accompaniment. That kind of pushed us to be a part of the Welsh community, as well as also trying to embrace our other side, our black side, our Bajan side. Alongside the career, we were visiting our dad and having that influence as well. And then his influences were drawn from like neo soul, R&B kind of music. So we had Welsh and kind of black mixture of black and Welsh music, which I think really kind of influenced where I am now. I've started now to really bring out my more my soulful voice, and I feel like that's come from kind of my Bayesian side. I know a lot of my Bayesian family are kind of creative and musicians, so it's really an interesting journey that I'm going on at the moment, and I'm kind of hoping to explore my Bayesian heritage a bit more now in the next 10 years, you know, do more visits to Barbados and kind of discover who I am.
Edith chats to her mum, Tamsin Mariel, about her grandfather and his connections to Windrush.
So I'm with my mum, who's brought me and my sister Kizzy Crawford up and has taught us all we know about our heritage. Our granddad is of Bayesian heritage and has been brought up in the Windrush generation. And I just wanted to start by asking what you know about granddad's kind of experience growing up and his experience of the Windrush, if you know of anything.
So, well, you know that your dad didn't grow up with his father. He was brought up by his mum and didn't know anything about his dad growing up at all. And then when I was pregnant with Kizzy, I asked his mum what she could tell us about his dad, thinking it was going to be a really sensitive topic. And then surprisingly, she said, he used to live in the Reading area, and I think he still lives there. And she told me the area. And said, he's tried to get in touch several times, but I haven't actually followed it up. So that was a real shock to Dad. And I encouraged Dad to think about making contact with his dad, and he was quite nervous about doing that. So I ended up, cutting a long story short, because you know the story, I ended up writing a letter and looking up in the phone book in the olden days when we had phone books with all the numbers and the addresses listed in them. So I ended up finding all the people with his surname in that area of that town and writing a letter to, I think there are about five, saying, I'm really sorry if this comes as a shock, but do you know of his name and all the details? And I posted it on the, like, Tuesday, and then I was in the house on my own. Dad was at a driving lesson on like a Friday morning, and the phone rang and I picked it up, and so there was a voice on the other end saying, is this Tamsin? I've just got your letter. Do you know where my son is? And he was so friendly and so warm and so chatty. Anyway, we had a long chat, and then Dad came in and he was really shocked from his driving lesson to have a chat. Long story short, we arranged to go over and meet him, and he was just the most warm, friendly, loving person that you could imagine. And he was so happy to see Dad and so happy that he'd had the letter. And over the kind of next few years, he was really keen to be really involved with Kizzy, who was a baby, and then when you were born, with you when you were a baby. And we lived in Oxford at the time, so he used to drive over from Reading, which wasn't very far, spontaneously often. And he was working still at the time, although it's really worth saying he was already at that time in his 70s, but he was so full of energy and so full of just love for life and enthusiasm and so chatty. And he would, one of the first things he did was show us a video of his mother's funeral in Barbados and told us all about everybody that was in it and all about his mum, who had lived to like quite a long way past 100. I can't remember exactly, but and his mum's sister, who was still alive, who was Aunt Lise, who mm-hmm. you remember visiting when, mm-hmm. when you went there. So we very quickly got a sense of his life in Barbados. He talked a lot about it, and he talked a lot about lots of family members, we spoke to them, I spoke to them on the phone, Dad spoke to them on the phone. Quite soon after that, he was encouraging us to go over. And when I was pregnant with you, so yeah, we're talking like 25 years ago now. At that time, like, this was in the olden days, obviously, you could pick up a newspaper and look on the back for cheap flights. And I just spontaneously one day decided, okay, I've got 2 weeks holiday, let's get some flights, let's go to Barbados. And we did, and we went out and we stayed with your dad's sister from granddad's first marriage, who still lived in Barbados and still had your cousins living there mm-hmm. at the time. They were working, and we rang her up. Granddad said, yeah, ring her up, it'll be fine. And so we did, and she said, yes, it would be lovely to meet you. And we went out there, me, Dad and Kizzy, and stayed with her, and just were taken everywhere to see everywhere and everybody. And
classic it was, granddad.
It was amazing. It was amazing. He wasn't there at the time. He would say, after we got back, he was so delighted. We met so many people and so many family members, and it was just lovely. It was so warm and loving, warm. It was warm as well, like the weather was really warm, but it was just such a warm, loving experience. It was really wonderful because he was a little baby. And I was showing with the pregnancy with you, so everybody knew that you were there, so it's like you were there really, even though mm-hmm. you can't remember. And Granddad was like, when we got back, really keen to hear all about it. And so he talked about how he had sung, I think it was, I used to think it was a skiffle band, but I think Kizzy checked it out more recently and he said no, it wasn't, and that he was a singer in like a choir. But I do distinctly remember him saying he played drums, so I don't know where the truth actually lies. But as a result of being part of that, he would travel to other countries and got the opportunity to come to the UK. And at that time, the part of Reading where they were living, that he knew people from Barbados who were living there, so he travelled over and met Nana, mm-hmm. who he'd already divorced his first wife by then. So he travelled over and met Nana, who was from the same area of Barbados, and they got together and had your dad. And sadly that didn't work out and they separated. But he always travelled backwards and forwards and stayed actually with his first wife often, and was very involved with his children and tried very hard to be involved with your dad, but Nana didn't want to do that, so unfortunately they lost contact. But as soon as Dad was a part of his life again, that's when we were all embraced mm-hmm. and all like felt part of the family. I really felt part of the family. And I know Granddad, obviously, sadly now he's like 96, mm-hmm. 96, and over the last 3 years has started to become slightly confused and find it difficult to remember people. So I don't speak to him on the phone anymore. I used to speak to him on the phone. I used to speak to him on like FaceTime on the computer, Zoom, yeah. And Zoom. And we've all met up, like, yeah. all the way through. Like, my marriage to Dad ended, obviously, and I got married again, and that ended, so I went on to have more children. And Granddad's just embraced everybody. Yeah, he's just always embraced everybody.
We're just one big family.
We're just one big family.
And he's always accepted
he's
anyone.
He's always said, don't say half, don't say step, because we're bigger than that. The family of the world is bigger than that. We're all a big family. Don't talk about this happened in the past and this person fell out with this person and this, because it doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. while we're in the same room there's love, and while we're here together we're all here to be part of the same family. He's always done that, and I learned loads from that from him about like extended families and additional marriages and children from different marriages, because he was just so warm and loving and embracing about that. And so is everybody else, like, as you mm-hmm. know, like all your aunts and cousins and everybody. It's all been like that for everybody.
I think that's like a really important part of how that's kind of taught us on how to be creative and helped us through our music, me and my sister. And I think that brings us on to a really nice close for our last question, which is how you think, you know, the Bayesian culture relates to the music that me and Kizzy are making at the moment. How do you think that you know, showing us and how important that's been teaching us about our Bayesian culture, how that's had that impression on our music?
That's a really interesting question. I'm not sure that I feel like I'm qualified to answer it. Like, I've always been really aware. Obviously, I'm like white from like the southeast of England, and dad was born in the same area as me, not mm-hmm. quite in the same hospital, but like comes from, like, he was born there and grew up just outside London, and it's your dad's cultural heritage, it's not mine, so I don't want to appropriate that. I've never wanted to appropriate that, and because dad, for loads of different reasons, loads of different sensitivity reasons, it wouldn't be right to go into them here, mm-hmm. didn't feel confident in sharing that with you and bringing that into your lives. And I did as best as I could. I did the best I could with the information and the knowledge I had at the time.
I think that's the important part of this is how I think you have helped us to embrace our Bayesian culture. Although it's not something that you've derived from, it's something that you've enforced in us to embrace, you know.
I suppose I did get that experience that you experienced it like that yourselves as children, because you
allowed us to embrace is a better word, I think. Allowed us to embrace, like, I think as a supportive parent, as supportive parents do, allow us to express ourselves in that way.
I was pregnant with Kizzy, I was really aware, just from like my relationship with dad and dad's relationship with his wider family at that time, that he wasn't, that wasn't his mindset, that no, wasn't something yeah. that he considered he wanted to do or felt able to do, for loads of different reasons. So I would read and read and read and talk to people. There was a network in Oxford at that time called Transracial Parentage, Transheritage Parenting, and I went on an evening class that they had like funded and got off the ground, which was directed at parents who were either in relationships where people came from different heritage backgrounds, or for single parents where their child came from a different heritage background than their own. Mm-hmm. And I learned loads there. Mm. And I took that forward into doing my best to find out about the kind of unique identity of the Bayesian culture, yeah. like, rather than certainly my parents would say Caribbean, and like, oh, Caribbean people do this, or mm-hmm. Caribbean. My I remember my mother saying to Kizzy once, oh, you've got that Caribbean rhythm, when she was doing mm-hmm. a little dance mm-hmm. to the Teletubbies, and thinking like, actually, what the hell? Mm-hmm. And like, really wanted to find out about the unique things about Barbados, and so going there was part of that. And then also like encouraging dad to take you there as you were growing up, and you did a couple of times, and there was a big family reunion that granddad really wanted you to go to, dad mm-hmm. didn't want to go there, I didn't feel it was appropriate for me to be the person to take you, so I kind of funded that for you and dad and Kizzy to go to Barbados. I drove you all to the airport and picked you all up from the airport.
And yeah, that was a massive important part of our childhood, being able to see, you know, our history in front of us, you know, and that you have supported us through that, and that's had a massive impact on our music and our careers, especially when we've adapted to, you know, new environments, like moving to Wales and mm-hmm. moving to different parts of Wales. I think the way that those two things have combined within me and Kizzy, I think has been a massive factor in our music, you know, and how that has shaped our artist journey.
Yeah, because it's both, isn't it? It's both. The Welsh culture is a really powerful mm-hmm. part of who you are, an influence on your music, and at the same time I was very conscious about like you not seeing enough of yourselves
exactly
reflected back in what was around you.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that, there was far less awareness about around in those days, I used to have to order books from mm-hmm. America, mm-hmm. It's so that there were picture books with brown skinned children, and African heritage children and Caribbean heritage children in books. And I used to spend a lot of time, and this was before the internet, so mm-hmm. spend a lot of time trying to find out how I could find out about that. So it meant going to libraries, it meant writing off to publishers, it meant going to London a lot of the time to look for art gallery material. So I went to an art exhibition in the Tate, like back when Kizzy was, I think I was pregnant actually, and got all the books. It was about it's researchable, but it was like an exhibition that the Tate had about black people represented in fine art in the original, before the Tate Modern even existed. So, and bought all the catalogues, and then absolutely anything I just would find and buy and keep and have, and I've still got lots of that stuff. So the thing was, I would kind of like open up discussions and introduce some of these things, and you would be like, both of you, as you were growing up, oh, shut up, Mum, like, oh yeah, okay, thanks very much, yeah, okay, oh look, I don't really want to look at that stuff, but
it's embedded in us, there, it's always there. And I think that's the important thing, is that it's carried throughout, you know,
like learning about your hair, like when mm-hmm. you were little, and when we went to Barbados when Kizzy was a tiny baby and I was pregnant with you, like asking people and looking for products and having lessons, being taught how to do your hair, how to do different braiding styles, there isn't just a way of doing that, that mm-hmm. you have to be sensitive to mixed race textures, and like Barbados is a place where there's people from many, many mixed heritage backgrounds going back like hundreds of years, obviously. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I learned from your dad was that your dad's surname comes from granddad's surname, which is of Scottish origin, and of course Barbados is a place where people were enslaved from Scotland mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. well as from West Africa at the same time, so mm-hmm. You know, people have been there's been mixed relationships and mixed heritage for like since people first went to Barbados, mm-hmm. and then there's indigenous people as well in Barbados, obviously, and I don't know enough about that, and
I think it's been really looking up.
So like finding out about that, but finding like dolls and TV shows and just like keeping and just using the words, like saying Barbados
exactly.
loads of times.
Bajan,
cooking food, like learning how to cook food, asking Nana to teach me how to cook food, asking Dolores how to teach me how to cook food, and making sure that we ate that food and that you knew about that food, and making trips to areas where, because like where we lived in West Wales, there weren't any shops that sold the kind of foods that we wanted to cook, so going to London, going to Oxford to buy stuff and buy products, and those were the things that I like would you would get bored of me going on about.
But they've all been very valuable, and I think this discussion has been really, really useful and valuable, so thank you.
You're welcome.
And I also love how you place Welsh language on your sound as well, like, and obviously you're fluent Welsh speaker, which is amazing. And to me, it's very important that both are together, because it represents there's so many different types of people and faces and places and things like that in Wales. And they're not always maybe shown outside Wales, because I've been places and people have been like, what, you do reggae music in Wales? I'm like, yes, there's loads of us. So I think it's really nice to hear a blend of the two. Is that really important to you?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I think I feel like it's important for me to kind of spread that kind of awareness through music, through creativity to audiences in Wales and outside of Wales, that those two kind of genres, those two cultures can be combined and create something really special. And, you know, I think it's just really special that I've been brought to Wales. I wasn't born in Wales, but I feel Welsh and my identity is now Welsh, do you know what I mean, from growing up and being able to embrace Welsh culture, but also knowing I have Bajan culture, and how I think those two stories wrap together so well. Yeah. And I think there's just, for me, like I said, there's just so much to discover, I feel, with the connection to Bayesian and Welsh heritage and how similar they might be as well. But yeah, I think it's just a really interesting thing.
Definitely. And I know you touched there on the similarities of Welsh and Bayesian culture. I've never actually been to Barbados, but for me, as so I'm a Windrush grandbaby, and my grandpas are from Jamaica, and I spend a lot of time in Jamaica, and every time I go there, I'm just like seeing so many similarities between the cultures, and there are so many similarities. For example, like in the morning, you would say hello or good morning to every person you pass. And we do that in Wales and Jamaica. But if I try that, like, say, outside of Wales or Jamaica, if I've gone somewhere else, people look at me like, why is she speaking? It's 7 a.m. Why are you even speaking? That's just a small thing. And also both places of feeders, like in Wales and in Jamaica, it's a loving thing to be able to give someone a meal, to be able to say, like, hey, do you want to eat? I've made this for you. Like, it's just lots of different things are pieced together, and I find that whether we are aware of it or not, naturally that's kind of instilled in us anyway, you know.
I think that's such a special thing, isn't it? You know, that something that's like within us can be kind of embraced and kind of projected back out into society, back into your creativity, you know. I think that's just really cool.
So you said that you're kind of finding maybe more out about yourself as you're getting older. We're still very young, just disclaimer, we're still very young. But where do you feel like that will take you next? As in, is there more things you would like to try and explore that maybe you hadn't have thought about a few years ago? Or where would you like to take your musical journey?
Yeah. I mean, I'm massively inspired by you, actually, Alicia.
Because
just the fact that you have taken your music out back into your hometown, basically, yeah, Jamaica, you know, that's a massive inspiration for me. That's basically what me and my sister both want to do. We want to kind of explore Barbados and explore our family and where we've come from. And I know that both my cousins, my first cousin is a drummer and my second cousin is a producer. So we're hoping to be able to work with our cousins more and our family, and see if we can like work on music together and see where that takes us. So I'm hoping to just kind of take my music out to Barbados and be able to work on more music and see how that inspires me and influences my kind of style.
Amazing. Yeah. I know for me, like going like back home was, it just kind of opened like up a different portal in me. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. So I went when I was younger, like with family, and then visited family over there. So I've still got on my dad's side quite a lot of family still there. But then going back as an adult by myself and then spending time with my family, and I'd go for like a long period of time, I just kind of felt different about myself. I connected more with that side. I feel like I was very connected with it anyway. Mm-hmm. But when you place yourself there, and then now I'm so aware that I'm very Welsh, I'm also very Jamaican, and I feel like I have a nice blend of the two together, but going there made me kind of discover myself more.
Yeah, that's kind of what I love, you know. I love to see that because...
I love to see it,
in the words of the great Alicia. But yeah, no, it is true. Like, it's what I want to do. I know that I have so much history there that I want to pass on, you know. I want to carry and I want to be able to know and be aware of that. And it's just something I feel like I've got to do now that I'm kind of in my 20s. I'm more aware of my surroundings.
I'm still young.
I've got time. I've got like all this time now to be able to explore and like keep creating and keep, you know, figure out new things about myself and about my history and my family. And I just think it's important to keep going and carry on that kind of line and never break that kind of chain, I suppose.
Amazing. And it's important as well, I 100% think, is that to, like, as you touched there, to remember where we come from. So like the Windrush generation, imagine just like packing up everything you know and then starting from scratch somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So our ancestors would have done that and built something amazing from that. And then I feel like that's kind of instilled within us, because I know you're a very hard worker as well, and I just feel like it's just kind of embedded in us. That's just, we just got to make things work,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and we just power through, we prevail. And I just, I feel like that's one thing that I've, well, there's many things that I have inherited from my granddad, and that is definitely one of them. I know him to be, the character that he is a kind of free-flowing, he does things out of just the kindness of his heart. He's like just this really strong-willed person who is always just like, no matter what, I'm still gonna do it, you know? So I feel like I've had that drive from him for sure.
Amazing. So do you feel like, I would love to see you go to Barbados with Welsh language music and do kind of like an exchange? Like, to me, I can see that happening for you. Is that something you, like, I don't know why I feel like, well, there's loads of reasons actually why I feel like that would be amazing. But do you feel like that's something you would like to do? I'm not like offering that to you. I have no
please offer it to me
capacity
now.
To be able to allow that for you, but I think that would be amazing.
No, honestly, yeah, that would be the dream, you know, to be able to take Welsh language and kind of, yeah, exchange it with Bayesian and make something out of it would be, yeah, I think that's a massive dream for me and Kizzy, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah. See what happens, you know, see what the future holds. But I think, like, like you said, we've got so much time now to be able to, yeah, build something new. I'm just really excited.
Amazing. And also, on a kind of another angle of things, but not necessarily, I feel that outside of Wales now, Welsh artists are kind of pushing the boundaries and going to other places. Mm-hmm. So we're seen in many capacities in many places now, whereas before people would kind of skim over Wales, and now we're kind of like, actually you can't do that anymore, we're here, hello.
We're shouting out.
Yeah, and it's nice to see lots of different representation from Wales outside, mm-hmm, of Wales now.
Yeah,
like you're travelling, I travel, well, Mace is everywhere, Texas, like, it's just really good to see. And I just think that it's a really good time now, especially for the Welsh music scene. And then obviously knowing that both you and me stem from the Windrush generation, and then that kind of links back to me that it's important that these traditions and these things carry on, so that goes through the music as well. So then people who are younger than us, who are going into the music industry, who maybe look like us, think, oh, actually, they're achieving this, so we can do this too.
Exactly.
And then we share our culture, we share our tradition, and then we take it outside of Wales. So, mm-hmm, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is a beautiful thing.
So you are going to do some music for us today. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? What is the song called?
So I have decided to do an acoustic version of my upcoming single, Heal Yourself.
Stunning.
So it's all about, yeah, healing and my process of healing through lockdown. I created it, you know, over lockdown. So, yeah, here is Heal Yourself.
You have been outside and your mind is clear as day, as clear as day, oh, oh, and the sun does shine, yeah, wind through your hair, feel the same, oh. A dwi'n edrych trwy i'r tywyllwch a mewn i'r glahau. I'll watch the world collide, 'cause I'm holding on too tight. Oh, oh, open up, feel something, heal yourself. Oh, oh, agor lan, teimla gwella, o gwella, heal, heal, heal. Have you ever been outside? Feel the warm light on your face. the ground right to your brain. Hey, a dwi'n edrych trwy'r tywyllwch a mewn i'r glau. Dwi'n gwylio'r byd yn troi, ond dwi'n dal ymlaen yn dim. Too tight, yeah. Open up, open up. Feel yourself and heal yourself. Open up, feel something. Heal yourself. You better be yourself, don't deny your truth. There's always another day. Don't run away, don't run away. We have to be brave. One life, that's all we have, so don't waste another day. You better heal yourself, heal yourself. You better heal yourself, heal yourself, heal yourself. Ooh, heal yourself.
Amplify. Stories about youth music in Wales is produced by Anthem Cronfa Gerdd Cymru Music Fund Wales, creating a Wales in which music can empower every young life. This episode of Amplify was funded by Race Council Cymru to celebrate National Windrush Day 2022, created in partnership with T. Cerdd Studios. Amplify is produced by Tori Silman and Rian Hutchins, with voiceovers by Tori Silman, studio production by Connor Morgans, music by Blankface, and original concept by Ify Iwobi. Find out more about Anthem at www.anthem.wales.